Welcome to the service, everyone. As many of you will know, this will be my last service with you as minister at Desborough Baptist Church. And therefore, this is a special service for both me and the family as we worship with you, but also as we say goodbye. In Psalm 117, which Caroline shared with us last week, the psalmist calls people to lift up the name of God, firstly because God's love is steadfast, and secondly, because he is faithful and his faithfulness endures forever. Our God is a God we can depend on. And so I'd like to encourage you at the start of this morning's service to look back. Whether this is to look back over this last week or much further. And to bring to mind the things that God has done. To remember his faithfulness towards you through the different seasons of your life so far. And to thank him. And as we hold these things in mind, we're going to sing together, Great is thy faithfulness. Lord God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you love us, that you called us, and that to your glory you choose to work through us. not because you need to, but because you take delight in involving us in your mission and in seeing us fulfil our potential in you. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to be handing over to Andrew Skinner, who's going to be talking this morning on the theme of Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. If you've got a Bible to hand, you might like to reach for this now and start flicking through to Acts chapter 9, so that together we can delve deeper into the passages that Andrew's going to be speaking on, as he encourages us to think about how God can do extraordinary things through seemingly ordinary people. Before Andrew comes to share, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and work in us as we sing together the song, O Breath of Life. Many of you will be familiar with the words. This tune from EME Music is a new one, so please do join in with us as you pick it up. And let's use these words as a prayer today. Chris is going to come and read for us now from Acts chapter 9, starting at the very beginning at verse 1. And then Andrew will lead us in a time of reflecting on this passage together. Thanks, Chris.
Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I'm one of the members at Desborough Baptist Church. For the past 5 weeks, Gary has been taking us through some thoughts about the characteristics of a spirit-filled life. To remind ourselves, the 5 characteristics are: firstly, truth, a code to live by. Secondly, repentance, not hiding from God or others. Thirdly, revelation, living in a dynamic relationship with our Creator and Redeemer. Fourthly, selflessness, turning the focus off ourselves. And fifthly, God is glorified. Our lives signpost people towards God. Today I'd like to look at a New Testament example of someone who exemplifies this spirit-filled life. The book of Acts was written by Luke, a first century doctor and companion of Paul on some of his missionary journeys. Luke was a stickler for detail, and he carefully researched all that he records in his gospel and the companion book Acts, which picks up where his gospel ends. He tells us what happened next, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. There are many people who come alive to us on the pages. We know about the apostles Peter, John and Paul, but there are other characters we can overlook. These are ordinary people who were used by an extraordinary God. Here are just a few we could gain inspiration from. Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor in Joppa. Jason. He welcomed Paul and Silas into his home in Thessalonica. Dionysius. He was converted under Paul's preaching in Athens. Priscilla and Aquila. A dynamic Christian couple who supported Paul. Today, however, we're going to take a look at Ananias of Damascus, probably the first believer that Saul, or Paul as he is known afterwards, met after his Damascus Road experience. We first meet him in Acts chapter 9, in the account of Saul's conversion, which Chris read to us earlier, but he is mentioned again by Paul in one of his speeches. This is in Acts chapter 22. Verses 6 to 16, where Paul is speaking to the crowds after his arrest at the temple in Jerusalem. Here we learn a bit more about Ananias. Let's listen to the passage now, where Paul is recounting his conversion experience.
About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. "What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said, "and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name."
Luke, in telling us about all these regular people, wants to encourage us by emphasizing that God can and does use people like Ananias, in fact, people like us, in extraordinary ways. We just need to be spirit-filled and attentive to God's voice. Let's have a closer look at Ananias and see how we can aspire to be like him. We read in chapter 9, verse 10, that Ananias was a disciple in Damascus, most likely a convert from Judaism. In Acts chapter 22, verse 12, Paul describes him, for the benefit of his Jewish audience in Jerusalem, as a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. The Lord calls to Ananias in a vision. It is Jesus calling, as Ananias confirms in chapter 9, verse 17. Wow, how amazing is that? What is more, unlike Samuel in the Old Testament, he recognizes straight away that it is the Lord. He is in a close walk with Jesus, and the narrative reads like a conversation between good friends, which it was. Ananias answers expectantly, "Yes, Lord. What do you want me to do?" Jesus tells him to go to see a man called Saul, who is staying in Damascus. Saul too has had a vision, a bit like a mirror, showing Ananias coming to heal him. "Am I hearing you right?" is what Ananias seems to have been saying to Jesus. You can't mean the Saul of Tarsus, notorious persecutor of all who call on your name. He is bad news. But the Lord says, go. This is my task for you. How would we react? Honestly, Ananias knew the Old Testament, and so he didn't react like Moses and try to wriggle out of God's command. He didn't react like Gideon, who tried to discount himself because of his family's lowly status. He didn't react like Jonah and pack his bags and head in the opposite direction in order to run away from God's command. No, Ananias was obedient to the Lord's command, and he went straight to Straight Street to see Saul. He did not pass go or collect £200. He showed courage as well as obedience. Jesus had given him a message to give to Saul. It must be done. Ananias entered the house and found Saul, who after 3 days was weak and probably confused after his encounter with Jesus on the road. Jesus had been prodding Saul's conscience for some time, as he confirms in Acts 26, verse 14, where Jesus says to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Just as a farmer would prod or goad his ox to make it go the way he wanted, so too Jesus was prodding Saul towards the truth of the gospel, the very gospel he was fighting against. Saul was finding it harder and harder to resist Jesus. So Ananias places his hands on his Jewish brother Saul and tells him that he has been sent by Jesus. Then two extraordinary things happen. Firstly, Ananias says, Brother Saul, receive your sight. Immediately Saul is able to see again. Ananias, the ordinary disciple, has performed a miracle of healing. Amazing. Secondly, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias, the ordinary disciple, is used by God to fulfill his purposes in Saul. Extraordinary. Saul can now see again physically and for the first time spiritually. Ananias wastes no time and instructs Saul, saying, And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. God has given you this amazing commission, Saul, so don't delay, act now. So Saul was baptized and had something to eat. Almost at once he headed to the synagogue in Damascus, preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. What can we learn from Ananias? How does he show the characteristics of the Spirit-filled life that we considered at the beginning of our thoughts? Firstly, he lived by the truth. He was devout and counted himself among those who called on the name of Jesus. He had faith to heal. Secondly, he didn't hide from God. On the contrary, he obeyed the command of Jesus. Thirdly, he lived in a dynamic relationship with God. He was alert to the promptings of the Spirit and recognized immediately the voice of Jesus. Fourthly, he displayed a selfless attitude. He put God's will before his own and was willing to reach out to Saul, the arch enemy of Christianity. Fifthly, he glorified God. He pointed Saul towards God. Get up and be baptized. In describing the conversion of Saul, Luke weaves Ananias into the story, to show us that God uses ordinary people like Ananias, people like us, to accomplish his purpose. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It can happen today as well to you and me. We just need to be spirit-filled and attentive to God's voice. And if you don't already know this God that we have been talking about, please talk to a Christian about him. He is waiting to welcome you into his family of believers if you turn to him in repentance and faith. Let's take a few moments of quiet to come before God in prayer and ask him to help us lead spirit-filled lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Ananias that you have given us in the scripture. We thank you that he shows us how we can live in a spirit-filled way, obeying your commands. We ask today, Lord, that you would help us too to live in your truth, to follow your ways, and to be attentive to your spirit. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next worship song is entitled Holy Spirit. The lyrics remind us about the work of the Holy Spirit and encourage us to welcome him into our lives and our worship. You may not know it, so just listen the first time round and then rewind and join in as Jen leads us.
Oh,
Let's turn to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are attentive to every word we speak, whether it is in praise or pain, in celebration or anguish. You hear us and you draw close to us in each and every situation. We praise you, Lord Jesus, the risen one, that we have the victory in you and that there is nothing that can eclipse or alter what you have done for us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come again to be our helper and our guide. Show us how you would have us serve you. Guide us to those who need to know your words of life and joy. Strengthen us to minister to those who are in distress and keep us turned outwards that we might see our neighbour, whoever that might be, through your eyes. And on a personal note, Lord God, as I come to the end of my ministry at Desborough Baptist Church, I want to thank you for all you've done. For the baptisms that we've enjoyed, for the new people that we've welcomed into the church family and who have undoubtedly been a great blessing to us. For those who have loved and supported us as a family, for the laughter and joy we have shared, for the relationships strengthened with other local churches, and not least for the way in which we've seen so many people find new life, purpose, confidence and hope in you, Lord Jesus, as they've come to know you more. We thank you for the friendships that have deepened during lockdown and for the way in which you've enabled us to find new ways of being church, full of life and love. Continue to make your voice heard, O Lord, we pray, and may your church everywhere continue to be your light and bring hope where it is needed most. We ask in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you to those of you who've been in touch over the last 10 months in lockdown, sharing of how God has spoken to you through these times of worship at home. It's been great to be able to share this time with you. And I wish you and your family every blessing for the year ahead. God bless everyone. Our final song today is No Longer Slaves. I am no longer a slave to fear, because I am a child of God.
The Fellowship at Desborough Baptist Church would like to thank Gary for being our minister over the last 2.5 years. We are grateful for the way he has led and encouraged us, as well as introducing us to new ideas. We will miss Gary and his family, Jen, Emily, Noah and Josh, who have each enriched our lives in different ways. God tells us in his word that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Whilst the partnership between Gary and Desborough Baptist Church has ended, God hasn't finished with any of us yet. As the Steele family move on, we pray that God will reveal his plans, opening doors to direct them in their next steps in their walk with God. May God bless them.
Let us pray. Father, today we pray for Gary and Jen. We want to thank you for how you work through them. We give thanks for Gary, his service and ministry to us, the church family and the wider community. We pray for God's guidance for the future, that the Holy Spirit will be close to them as they seek God's will and purpose for their lives. Father God, we ask for your blessing on them and the family. Uphold them in peace, comfort, strength, safety, and with courage to embrace the future. We pray too for the fellowship at Desborough Baptist Church as we move forward. We pray for peace, for unity, for kindness, and we pray for listening ears, that we may listen to you, Lord, to discern what is your will for us. And so for us all, may the peace of the Lord go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.